Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the nation, welcome into the program. Thanks for making us part of your day. We're going to chat with Cole Wynn here coming up in about 20 minutes. Rangers fans had an incredible 2025 so far. ERA about 1.5, and his whip is just over 1. He's been one of the several productive quality bullpen pieces that they've assembled this year, and we're excited to talk about him. It's what, 7 seasons since he was drafted. I heard a lot about Cole Wynn over the years, and now he is making the most of it here in this 2025 season. We look forward to getting more of his story and his outlook on things coming up here in about 20 minutes. But guys, we are at the actual make or break point of the season, aren't we? You got to win these next two, like 3 down with 9 to go.
Mm-hmm.
Broadus, you're not holding the line there, are you? I mean, you wouldn't be mathematically eliminated, but if you don't win these next two against Houston, this thing's over. It's safe to say that anyway.
No. I told you when CY tells me we're done, we're done. I trust my general manager. No, you're right. I'm not.
I was just testing.
No, I you know, last night it shook me a little bit because it did some things in that game that they haven't done here recently. You know, the bad base running, the defensive problems. They didn't get timely hits.
They hurt themselves last night.
Yeah, and to me, I felt like Jack Leiter pitched pretty well. You know,
I love the response from him after that first.
I think Boach clearly probably wanted to get him one more batter, you know, and it just...
And he was pushing it because he knew the bullpen's taxed.
He knew it. He tried to do his best, but it just looked like a team last night that they hadn't been making mistakes like this in the last 20 or 21, 22 games. And it just kind of showed him, like, when you do things not the right way, you're probably going to lose. And that's what happened last
time. I mean, they've done enough. You got to tip their cap to them. It's just the damn Mariners doing this. I mean, just go 6-3 in your last 9, and we should be sitting at a tie, even if they're playing great baseball. That's
100%.
Even 6-3 is a pace that's just about unsustainable.
Yes, it's annoying because the teams around you, like Cleveland's caught fire. Cleveland was kind of out of this thing, and then all of a sudden they won 9 out of 10, right as you're also going off. And then Seattle has done everything that you just said. So it is...
That Cleveland series could be for something, couldn't it?
You know, absolutely. That's the other one that you're circling. And they've got to take care of business against the two teams at home that... They should be beating
Twins
in the Marlins and the Twins.
The Marlins.
Like, you can't be playing with your food. Those need to be sweeps now, especially if you're going to drop another game in this series to Houston. Like, you haven't provided yourself any cushion. And if this thing ends up going the way that it's not the Rangers' favor, we're going to be looking back at all those one-run games, bullpen losses, some of these certain decisions. I mean, last night I do think was... That's one you can look at the coaches and say, Boach, Bees.
I don't think Boach had necessarily his best game.
No, you didn't really help yourselves there. Yeah. But, I mean, the defense, too. I mean, you've been one of the best, if not the best defensive team in all baseball. And Jake Berger wasn't good last night.
Do you hate the Mariners at 877-881-1053? I think this might be the year that they finally become a rival. That they're just good enough to now officially be annoying. I mean, 23 almost did it.
They kind of owned you, though.
Like going to Seattle is one of those places where it's like, even when they're not great, it's just a miserable place for the Rangers to play. So there's already some of that going. They just haven't had like the full cherry on top of being like a truly legit type of postseason contender team or division leading team. But yes, that is an easy team to hate once they start being like they are now, which is a legit team.
Yeah, dominant pitching staff, so many guys that can hurt you. Obviously, what Cal Raleigh did in the first series against the Rangers was just baseball godly. But I do want to take a little bit of responsibility here for the last two games, because after Saturday's game, my hope returned. It did. And as we've proven time and time again, whenever I believe in these Rangers, they collapse. So those are on me. But with 11 games to go, I'm back to full on doubt. I mean, three back with 11 games to go. Yeah. You kidding me?
Yeah, we don't need you around.
So this thing is over. Pregame coming up at 6:30 and the first pitch at 7:05. Ken Rosenthal writing, if the Rangers do pull this off, Bruce Bochy could be in line for his second Manager of the Year award. Lost so many good players, all of the injuries.
And team left for dead. You go on a late run to get in.
I think, you know, Bochy being consideration, I'm not quite sure how that thing works. It would be weird to give it to, you know, a team that's going to have, what, 86, 87 wins at absolute most. But I do think that's interesting, because if the Rangers or if Bruce Bochy is planning to move on, if either one of those things is true, doesn't it get complicated if you win Manager of the Year? You're not going to win Manager of the Year, then leave, are you? Especially if you make the playoffs. You think you make the playoffs, you get to keep Boch?
It's one where Bochy is the one that would leave. The Rangers, if Bruce Bochy wants to be here, the Rangers have no intention of him not being the manager. That's my understanding and belief right now, I think. But I do wonder if the flirtation of going back to the West Coast, I think, is something Bochy has been having. Yeah. But things could change with a sexy October run. But maybe that's also kind of a good way to say, I did what I needed to do here in Texas. On to the next chapter.
I mean, I would have to believe if I'm Boch that we got a bona fide contender to manage any team. And I guess I would have felt that way about the Rangers in 24 and in 25. But, you know, maybe if a great team is out there and he wants one more shot, that'd be hard to turn down a chance for a flipping fifth World Series.
I kind of feel like I agree with Zach. I think this... keep an eye on what happens in San Francisco, you know, with Buster Posey now running the operation out there and stuff like that.
I think that's very real.
I think that's a very real thing.
And the Rangers have good options. Still Shoemaker.
Yeah.
The most likely guy, Skip, or would that be a guarantee?
Yeah, I think Skip would be the easy answer if he wants the job. I mean, he's been here for a year. I don't know if things have changed in his mind of seeing how things are run. Maybe he would like to try his hand at a different organization, but I would hope, yes, that would be an easy, you turn it over to Skip Shoemaker, who a lot of other people think could be one of the top five managers in all of baseball.
It'd be an easy transition for him, because if he goes somewhere else, yeah, he probably knows the other teams, but now he has the, you know, hands-on knowledge of what this team is and how the front office works, and so it'd probably be a pretty good fit for him if he wants to stay. I had Pat Murphy, you talk about Manager of the Year, Pat Murphy at the Brewers, right? Him or a guy at
the pocket pancake guy?
Yeah, Philadelphia. I mean, don't those guys that win 90-something games, don't they?
Won the division again.
Yeah. Do you get any credit out there?
I think you should. Yeah. Absolutely should. Monday Night Football last night, Chargers get credit for suffocating the Raiders. 20-9 was the final. Geno Smith threw three picks. Maybe a little bit too aggressive, but he threw a pick on the Raiders' first pass, and he threw a pick right before halftime when they were trying to get points before the break, and then he threw a pick that effectively ended it. So that party of Geno Smith breaking out with the Raiders, you know, came crashing back down to earth. And Ashton Jeanty, 11 carries for 42 yards.
It's been a rough go.
It has statistically, but there's like a handful of plays in both of these games where you're like, holy crap, Ashton Jeanty's going to be really good if they can get an offensive line.
Man, that's the thing. Hopefully he doesn't go away, you know, and they just kind of get him all beat up and stuff. But man, I expected far more from him, though. I'm not going to lie. Two games into this thing,
he has 81 rushing yards on the season.
Yeah.
He has 84 rushing yards after contact.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
That is unbelievable.
Even better than I thought.
There was a play last night where it's like, as soon as he gets the handoff, he's got a defensive tackle right there in his face. Not a whole lot you can do there. I'm feeling for him right now. And the Chargers defense is legit, to be fair.
Yes, it is very good.
They're playing really good football.
Say what you want about Jim Harbaugh. He's a damn good coach, right?
He's awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. He's won everywhere he's been. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why we were kind of thinking, after that disgusting loss to Green Bay, you've got a guy that you know he's a disciplinarian. You want to change your culture. I think we were kind of on board with the Harbaugh move, but they wanted to keep Mike for another
year. He's going to be totally in charge. And
he wouldn't fit here.
The fans are going to love it. Yeah, I don't know how much of a fit it is with the Joneses, but the Chargers defense, I mean, they don't have a good secondary. They lost Khalil Mack. And still continue to put the pressure on, and I think that the Chargers might be one of those teams that could join that AFC conversation.
Well, the fact that they've got Denver this week, right? So they've got They could be 3-0 in the AFC West to start the year with the way that they...
And they might be the team that dethrones Kansas City.
Jesse Minter, their defensive coordinator, has done a great job.
Through two games, the Chargers' defense is forcing an average depth of target of 3.2 yards. That's the lowest in the NFL by a wide margin, that according to Mina Kimes. And then our buddy Gojo, Chargers' defense forced the second highest percentage of tight window throws of any game so far this season. 28% of the Raiders' passes. So that secondary is just absolutely dialed in right now.
And that's Chiefs and Raiders, right? I got that right. They played the Chiefs week?
Yeah, they played Chiefs and Raiders. That's what I'm saying. They got Denver this week. They could be 3-0.
So, you know, in that conversation with Ashton Gentry, you guys have probably seen today a graphic blowing up on social. Javonte Williams leading the NFL in EPA per play on the ground. Pretty dang impressive. And you know, it just goes to show you there's lots of different ways to get that impact. And last year it was all the top paid guys are doing all the work. So the idea was you got to go, you know, spend money or premium assets. But many of the guys inside the top 10 are budget kind of signings, Chief.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely had some good moments, but I still think you want some more from the rushing attack when you look at, I mean, your rushing success rate was phenomenal versus the Eagles. It was 36%, not near good enough versus the Giants, and they're running the ball so much on first down. And if he didn't have the huge touchdown run, you'd be looking at 16 first down runs for 38 yards, which is like 2 yards per carry, just over.
A little bit more consistency. Got to be better.
Yeah, like
the first half was bad.
The first down stuff right now, like if you're going to be a little bit nitpicky on Schottenheimer, probably want to see them maybe try and aired out a little bit more on first down.
Becoming a little predictable, maybe.
Yeah, and they're running great out of 11 personnel, but when they put it up into heavy personnel, hey, we're obviously trying to run the ball here, and they've done a nice job like hitting play action off that, and you got Lamb and Pickens as like the only two guys in a route. You can get some chunk plays out of that in the passing game, which I do love, but they're not running the ball well out of those heavy personnel units.
Okay. Oh, the other thing on the Chargers real quick, just offensively, you know, they lost Slater before the season started. They moved Joe Alt from right tackle to left tackle, and he's been amazing. He's been one of the best left tackles. Yeah. And
he was one of the best tackles coming out of the draft.
Yeah. Was he?
Notre Dame.
And then, you know, to go back and forth, right tackle, left tackle, just seamlessly, that's a hell of a player there. And Trey Pipkins, the veteran, has stepped in at right tackle and been decent for him. And they ended up with Mekhi Becton, who left the Eagles. Tampa over Houston, 20-19. Texans are up against it. Nick Chubb runs in a late touchdown after a great punt return with just over 2 minutes to go. And you're thinking, okay, Houston's going to get to 1-1. Their defense is the strength. They'd held Baker to 14 points up until that moment, but Bucky Irving makes a huge block on 4th and 10. Mayfield steps up, runs for 15 yards, and does a front flip for the final two. And that really broke Houston as Rashad White ran it in a few plays later for the 2 yard touchdown for Houston. It marked the sixth time with 20 or fewer points going back to week 15 of 2024. Mm. So they are dead last in the NFL in points per game under their new offensive coordinator, Nick Cayley. And C.J. Stroud, one touchdown, total QBR in the 30s combined for these two games. Houston looked like a team on the rise at points in 2023 and 2024. But I got to say, they're heading for, maybe a seller finish in the worst division in football. It's brutal right now what's going on down there in Houston.
It's really bad, and everybody's getting super ticked at C.J. Stroud, and I understand there were a couple of moments, especially as a guy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guy who has Nico Collins on his fantasy team, where I was like, bro, Nico Collins is wide open right now.
Throw the
ball.
Why are you
not throwing the football? But in general, that offensive line, and they haven't been able to figure out this play caller situation. Mm-hmm. So if you got a less than play caller and a below average offensive line, it's going to be tough for most guys.
From an NFC standpoint, though, it might be time to acknowledge the Bucs. They were without two offensive linemen.
Their whole offensive, your guy Graham Barton, he's showing off the versatility. Yes.
Yep. I mean, their starting center's kicking out the left tackle. Graham Barton's kicking ass, and they're both, I mean, White, Irving, they're running the ball really well. Igbuka's been fantastic. Mike Evans has been really good. They still don't have Chris Godwin. They'll get him back. I mean, that's a team that I think they've won that division 4 or 5 years in a row. Tampa Bay is legit now, and to do that against Houston, which is a good defense, yeah, the Bucs probably should start to get a little bit more love in terms of NFC contender status.
Yeah, they've done a hell of a job putting that roster together after the Tom Brady Super Bowl runs and the consistency that they've had. But this year might be even better. But they lost a defensive tackle, Kalijah Kancey. Torn pec. So that's going to be a season ending for him. And he's a starter, I think, next to
Vita Vea.
All right, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the Rangers player show coming up next. Cole Wynn's going to join us. We'll talk to him about what the Rangers need to do here with 11 games to go and what made him so good this year. That's coming up next year in the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. It's time here for the Rangers player show. Krusty's Corner's coming up here at 3:40, about 15 minutes. Brian's going to break some stuff down for you here on the Cowboys and football. This segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by carsforkids.org. Donate your vehicle today, carsforkids.org. All right, the Rangers Player Show brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Here he is, a breakout Texas Ranger this season. Been a demon out of the bullpen. 1.53 is the ERA, and the whip, that's walks and hits per innings pitch, just over one, which is a mighty fine number. Cole Wynn joining us now here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's good to have you. Congratulations on finding it to the extent that you have this year. What's been the biggest difference for you, Cole?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think it's just been, you know, being confident and getting a lot more comfortable. I think the more you are out there and the more you're pitching, the more comfortable you get. And I've really found that to be helpful this year.
I mean, I could totally get it, but at some point you kind of get used to the fact that there's 50,000 people watching you and you're in a pennant race and it just kind of becomes normal. Is that how that works?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for me, honestly, when I'm out there, I don't even hear any of the crowd noise. I don't really see anybody but the catcher. So I don't really know, honestly. I think you kind of get used to it, but, you know, looking back on it, I mean, it's cool every day to show up and have that many people watching, you know.
Cole, how's the ride been, man? Like, from the pressures of being a first round pick with this organization, dealing with, you know, some overcoming adversity, to now you're having an outstanding year, as Gavin mentioned, and pitching out of the bullpen with a chance to go make a pennant run here and win another World Series.
It's been pretty crazy, honestly. I think you know, looking back on it, it doesn't feel like it's been since 2018. So I guess 7 years. But yeah, it's been a crazy ride. You know, a lot of struggles, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. But that's ultimately led me to here, and you know, I wouldn't trade the ride for anything.
Hey, Cole, I was interested when you just talked about you don't hear a crowd, it's the catcher. How does somebody develop that kind of concentration, that kind of tunnel vision? Is it something that you're experienced, something you went through? Is there a secret to that?
I think, you know, you talk to different guys and different guys say different things, but I think for me, controlling my breathing is a big part of it. Okay. I start to notice, like, when I do hear crowd noise or feel a little bit more amped up, if I'm able to take a deep breath and kind of refocus in, I think that helps a lot. And I think that's been the biggest thing. I think it goes with practice, as much as you could practice, like, I guess, pitching in front of a ton of people, but I think controlling my breathing and just trying to stay as much in the moment as possible.
Well, is it one of those things, Cole, that you like, I'm just asking this, is like, all of a sudden you said, wow, I'm breathing. Okay. Oh, that worked. Was it like that simple, or was it just, you know, something like, yeah, like, oh, okay, just through practice and time and success, it's worked for you?
I think I developed a routine through one of the mental performance coaches that I've used. And, you know, you have a pre-inning routine, a pre-batter routine, and a pre-pitch routine, and it all revolves around a deep breath. So I notice, like, whenever I'm incredibly in the moment, I'm just focusing on, like, one breath at a time and then one pitch at a time. And I think that's what kind of helps me stay focused.
Sounds like you're doing yoga up there, kind of.
Yeah.
Maybe some Navy SEALs breathing.
Yeah, a little mental yoga.
Yeah.
Cole, what's the biggest challenge going from a starter to a reliever? How does the routine change?
I think it's just preparing to pitch every day. You know, as a starter, you know weeks in advance what days you're going to be pitching. As a bullpen guy, you never know when you're going to pitch, and you have an opportunity to pitch every day. So I think it's just preparing every day the same as if you were going to pitch. So the routine's changed a little bit. I think it's just getting my body right to throw. There's a lot of different things, like different factors, like being sore. Like if you pitch the day before and you have a chance to pitch again, you know, it's just getting your body right and getting your body to where it needs to be ready to pitch that day.
Yeah,
so if you take every day and try and do the same things, it stacks up.
So what are some of the things you've learned, like recovery-wise, and maybe some of the veterans that you've had in the pen have been able to help you with that, with some of the advice day-to-day?
Yeah, I think I've been really fortunate to be around a great group the past couple of years, whether it be Kirby and David Robertson last year, and then this year Chris Martin and Sean Armstrong. I think they really helped me, like, day-to-day, just being prepared to pitch. Even if, you know, like, you're down and you're not going to pitch, like, it's still doing the same thing that you did the day before as if you were going to pitch and be ready to pitch. So I think it's just keeping that routine as solid as possible. And, you know, the veteran guys around have definitely helped me out with that, whether it be how much I'm throwing in between games, whether or not to keep it light or push it a little bit more. So I think, you know, you just pick their brains and see what they've done. It's brought them so much success. And I think all those guys have been huge for me.
Hey, Cole, if we got to sit out with the bullpen, out in the bullpen with you and the other relievers, would we have a good time out there for 9 innings? And I mean, until you guys start to have to do some work, and hopefully you don't have to do any work, but would we have a good time just listening to the stories and things like that out there?
Absolutely. You know, in my opinion, the bullpen is the place to be during the game. There's nothing bad that goes on in the bullpen. It's only good vibes and good stories. And,
sure.
And then obviously, like, everybody knows when to get serious and kind of lock in.
Right.
But for the most part, it's everybody keeps it pretty loose.
Speaking of loose, have you guys ever played a game Derek Holland told us about 10 years ago called Fart Bottle Roulette?
I've never played that, but I could only imagine what that's like.
Have you heard anything about it? Does the legend live on?
I haven't heard anything about it, but I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. Probably for the best.
Yeah, I'm glad to probably never play that game.
I know you guys are in the throes of a big-time postseason run here trying to make something happen, but can you find the funny in watching Jonah try and leg out the throw to home?
I think so. I mean, I think everybody kind of enjoys watching different people run. Like, I think you know, you watch like Hellman or like Wyatt run, the guys are incredibly fast. I think that's pretty fun to watch. And then you get guys on the other side of the spectrum like Jonah. That's, I think, pretty cool to watch. I mean, granted, I wish he didn't get thrown out, but sure, yeah, I think everybody can kind of see the humor in that.
And this is not a question. I just want to say, man, I absolutely love your mustache.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's, I think it's helped this year, you know. I had to shave it at one point, but it's grown back pretty well.
There's some good juju in that mustache, isn't there?
Heck yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had to shave it because the first one I had a lot of zeros in it. And then when it started to not have any zeros in it, I had to switch it up.
Okay.
So you get a little superstitious?
A little bit, yeah. I think everybody does a little bit to some extent.
So who's the one in the bullpen that thinks like, man, I should be the one to go out there and pinch hit? Like if we're struggling to score some runs, go ahead, put a bat in my hand. I mean, it looks like you were pretty decent offensively in high school, Cole.
Yeah, selfishly, I want to say me. I was when Jack got the at-bat earlier this year, I wanted the bat. Yeah. I wanted to at least get up there and see what it's like. But, I mean, there's some guys, I think, that have some big league ABs already, so I'd probably put the bat in their hands before mine.
Cole Wynn here with you on The Fan. Okay, so background-wise, are you a fan of other sports?
Yeah, I like watching golf, football, and then I like UFC a lot.
Oh, nice. Big okay. UFC guy. Who's your favorite fighter right now?
I like Pereira, Alex Pereira. Yeah. I think he's fun to watch, and I think his intro to his fights is probably the coolest intro in sports.
Were you watching or plugged in at all? I mean, you had a game, but Crawford and Canelo?
See, I'm not really a huge boxing fan. I don't know what it is. I couldn't tell you, but I know a lot of the guys were.
Are you the best golfer on the team?
Yeah, I would say so. I've never played with Merrill, but I heard Merrill can swing it pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those Arizona guys.
Arizona guys, yeah, you got to watch those Arizona guys.
I know.
Well, Cole, thank you so much for your time again. Congrats on your success. 11 games to go. Pregame coming up tonight at 6:30. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Yes, thank you, sir. That was fantastic. Brought to you by Globe Life. Globe Life for over 125 years. Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Yeah, and you talk about an absolute just breakout. The numbers last year suggested, wow, the bullpen's not going to work for him either. I think it was in the sevens last year, maybe 20 games or so. And it looked like maybe it was the end, but you talk about 8 years afterwards, you're still just 25 years old. That's about the age of Jack Leiter.
Mm-hmm.
And with a lot of pitchers, it can take well into their 20s to get it figured out. But now this year, 35 innings of work, 29 strikeouts, the microscopic ERA and the very good whip. I mean, anything under 1-1. As a whip is good, and he's just barely over one. So congrats again to Cole Wynn, and really salute to CY and everybody involved for putting together one hell of a bullpen and continuing to develop internally like we haven't been used to. Brian, where are we going next?
Yeah, you know what? It's a Tuesday. I've got some really, really good questions, I think, for my guys. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Jacob, and for Lucius, football fans. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
AC repair and replacement. Here's the king in the corner, Brian.
Hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty is going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate that. Thank you to Reliant as well.
He was chomping at the bit.
I like that.
Chomping. Respect to his energy.
Yeah, love that. Here we are, Krusty's Corner. Krusty's Corner tomorrow, too, the next couple of days, as we do weekly. We'll be breaking down the opponent. Will be the Chicago offense tomorrow.
Yes.
And then on Thursday will be the Chicago defense. Let's and then we usually take a look at the referees. We'll tell you that these referees will throw flags early when they're trying to call those delay of games. We'll let you know that.
I do love a good zebra report this time
zebra
of year.
Zebra reports are good this time of year. So On Tuesdays, I like to find ways to ask my guys some questions. I always like to ask my guys questions. I think they come up with
some. I love when you
do it, too. Especially when they're good questions, right?
It's the best.
I try, Eric.
That's the best.
No, your attitude, your effort, like top tier.
Not piss poor.
And that's what we respect.
Not piss poor right
now?
Attitude and effort, man.
Really improved.
Don't make me send you a text message, Eric. You know, I'll send you a
Fat Back Broadus is the best Broadus.
I'll send you a text message in a minute. All right,
and I'll start. Damn down, please.
I'll start with you then, Chief, on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, through 2 weeks, has it been a better get of your running back Williams or Clark, your defensive tackle?
Oh man, I think it's got to be Clark because that defensive tackle position has been so barren for so many years, especially when it comes to like a legit run stuffing man beast. Kenny Clark has exceeded expectations. He's been easily one of your best players on either side of the ball. And Javonte Williams has done a nice job, and credit to him. Like, when you start laying out the things of, like, what have you gotten right and what have you gotten wrong about this Cowboys team, mm-hmm. Javonte Williams gets a nod for, hey, I was wrong about him. He's got a little bit more.
I'm raising my hand on
than
that.
I was anticipating. But yeah. Kenny Clark has been, like, a real difference maker and helped create maybe the best run defense in football right now.
Woolley?
Yeah, I'm probably going to rock with the Kenny Clark edition. Now, bang for your buck. I think you can definitely, I would go with Javonte Williams in that case. But Kenny Clark has been, he's been absolutely fantastic. I think that he's made the defensive tackles better for Osa, for Solomon Thomas. He's one of these guys that, I mean, the pressure to lead your team in pressures through 2 weeks from at the defensive tackle position. He's not even playing like the true necessary three tech. I think it's very impressive. The run stuffing, what he's been able to do, as Eric mentioned, I think Kenny Clark has been their best defensive player through 2 weeks. Javonte Williams has been awesome, but he hasn't been their best offensive player for 2 weeks. So just because of that, I think Kenny Clark's just been better as of right now.
How about you, Dawson?
Yeah, I'm just going to agree with those guys. As much as I like Javonte Williams, you know, I think this offensive line was pretty good at opening up holes last year for Rico Dowdle. Javonte has great patience, great physicality. But yeah, Kenny Clark, He's your run-stopping guy, and he's also giving you pass rush. I don't think you can really overlook how difficult it is and how special it is to have one of those guys. There's only half a dozen or so in the league that can do both.
All right, I'm going to piggyback this on the question I just asked you about Clark. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say this. My biggest fear is the run defense has improved to the point that opponents might just decide to throw the football on you.
Yeah.
What's your biggest fear? Because that's my biggest fear, that all of a sudden your run defense is pretty good, and now teams just say, you know what, they don't rush the passer, they don't cover well. My biggest fear is that that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we kind of talked about, I know I brought it up during some stuff in training camp, but that's still my biggest fear. But I didn't feel like that you were going to have the corners available that you have now. Woolley, what's your biggest fear about this defense?
I think it's the health of the corners. Like I'm so scared that you're just never going to get Diggs and Bland and Revel ever playing together.
Yeah,
they just haven't been able. It's like you can't have them both. Like we got Diggs and Bland playing together last week, and it was great. All of a sudden, now Bland's hurt again. Bland comes back, is Diggs going to be hurt? When Revel's ready to come back, do you lose Bland again? Like, it's just my biggest fear is they're never, those three guys now are locked up long term. You've got 4 years of Revel. You've got Bland and Diggs under contract. And I am terrified that they're never going to be able to reap the benefits of having three guys that you would think would be some of the best trio in the entire National Football League.
How about you, Dawson?
My fear is that Eberflus doesn't want to adapt or doesn't think he has to, and it should be his fear as well, because as Mike McCarthy's defensive coordinator found out in his first year, the Cowboys will catch you here. Yeah. 6-8 weeks in, if this does not get better, I think he is on pace right now to get fired midseason, Matt Eberflus, and I'm hoping he realizes how urgent it is, because I think they have enough good players, especially when they get healthy. But you got to put him in a better position to succeed than what Eberflus has done so far.
How about you, Chief?
Yeah, I mean, I would echo all those, but I think ultimately you're right. Like you traded problems going, you know, pre-Micah trade. It was like, are they going to be able to stop the run at all? And now it's, can you stop the pass? Yeah. And you don't have a good enough pass rush, and your secondary is nowhere near good enough. And there's very few secondaries that are good enough to be locked down when they don't have anybody pressuring the quarterback. And so just your pass defense as a whole, you, with Bland or not, like with, I mean, you just saw what Diggs was doing out there. Yeah. It's tough to play corner when a quarterback can just sit back there pretty much all day.
Yeah. Dawson, here's my question for you. Having no BB is more of a problem than having no Bland.
Oh, I don't think so. You know, I think I'm a believer in Cooper Beebe. You know, I don't want to make this a criticism of him, but I just don't think he has been that much better. Like, the gap from him to Hoffman is a lot smaller than the gap from Bland to Tryquez Bridges or Reddy Stewart. Yeah. Kyrie Elam, even. Yeah. Elam has been horrible.
How about you there, Chief?
This is a really good question, and I would just go with, I don't think Deron Bland is going to be able to single-handedly fix how bad your defense is. This team has to win with offense, and losing anybody on your offense right now is not something you can afford, because your offense is what has to go out there and win games.
Good answer.
Wooly.
Yeah, I love that.
What Chief said.
I think Cooper Beebe's going to end up being huge here. And I like Brock Hoffman, but I think you're losing the power element. And I think that's kind of where Javonte Williams has excelled, is that, you know, and I know Vach won G-Bag of the Day for it, but I loved what he was talking about, where he is a good complement with that trio inside, because he's a physical guy. He's patient. He's going to wait for them to develop, get that push, and then he's got this ability to get skinny in the hole, and then I'm going to force my way back, contact balance, which Shotty talked about, and sliver through there. So I think ultimately Cooper Beebe, I thought, was having a really strong start to the season. I think when we look back on this, it is going to be a big loss, and I wonder how much that actually is going to hurt this rushing attack.
See, I think that Brock Hoffman for like two or three games is okay. I worry about Brock Hoffman for six games. That's where I worry about this whole thing. All right. Let's go with Chief on this one. George Pickens will be the Cowboys' best receiver these next 3 weeks.
Is there anything in specific for these, or are you just putting an arbitrary timeline on it? Or
just putting the next 3 weeks. I'm just giving you that little small, I'm giving you that little sample size of these games.
Though I still think ultimately CeeDee Lamb is still that dude, but I don't want to understate the importance of Pickens and how awesome he is, just his presence on the field and what he does to open things up for really the entire offense. So I will still go with Lamb, just because I know that Lamb is like a thoroughbred top five receiver in the league, but it's a fair question, because Pickens is, I mean, he brings a lot to the offense, even when he's not getting the ball.
How about you there, Dawson?
Yeah, pretty much just what Chief said. I think unless the opposition just only has one good corner and corner two, and they're going to travel on Lamb, I'm just going to bet that over the course of a game, Dak's trust that he's built up over Lamb over all these years is going to be the tiebreaker in his head. I think George Pickens is just an incredible wide receiver too to have, and when you have to go get a drive now, what we saw him be able to contribute to on Sunday night makes me very sure this is the best two wide receiver combination the Cowboys have ever had. This is incredible. But no, I mean, there's such a big jump from where Pickens is to Lamb.
How about you there, Wooly?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as great as George Pickens is, there's levels to this, and we probably still don't appreciate just how amazing CD is. And CD's quarterback proof. I think that he's proven that he can be the only capable offensive weapon and still go out and have 100 yards for you. So George Pickens, I hope that they learn something based on that second half, because he's only going to be as good as that offensive coordinator allows him to be when he's calling plays. You can't just pigeon Pickens into he's going to run straight for you and run the deep ball. Like, those crossers that you're using with CD that he does such a great job of, Pickens can also do. And we saw that, but I also do think George Pickens is his own worst enemy. And at any minute, there can be something really silly that you're like, dude, what the heck did you just do? And I worry about that every single game from George.
I think the coaches talked to him and the message got home. Like, there were a couple of moments after plays where the defender is trying to think, it's time to fight George Pickens, here we go. And George is like, ball, give it to ref. Like, there was big strides in the focus level from George. And I think the embarrassment of taking them out of scoring position and then the next play is a Miles Sanders fumble, I think that could have been a turning point for him in his career.
I hope so. I think for him, it's like, it really is daily with George, week to week. You know, every week's a new one. You know, you did great last week. We got to just keep stacking them on top of each other.
I kind of feel like they unlocked something here. You know, and I know the Bears are down a cornerback, probably their best cornerback. We'll see what the Packers do and how they play Lamb. I think Nixon is one of their guys out there. And then you got Sauce Gardner in week three. I wonder how the Jets will play him with Sauce Gardner.
I like what you're thinking.
So I was trying to kind of look at the games and say, how will they take and who will they take away in these games? I think the one way that you could take away Lamb is probably put Sauce Gardner on him. So I was trying to kind of get a little bit of a gauge of of like, how will these guys perform the next 3 weeks? I think it'll be pretty fair between the Bears and the Packers. We'll see. But the Jets one might be the one where you're going to need Pickens to be really good if they throw Sauce Gardner at Lamb and travel that way. But I think they've unlocked something. I like what you said, Dawson, about the way that he seemed to play with a little bit of a different demeanor, during this game. But I think the touchdown really, really helped him in this game. I think the clutch third down catch really helped him in this game. Guy's playing inside technique on him, and he still runs the slant. And what does Dak do? Dak throws him the slant, knowing the guy's playing inside technique. I think we're about to see George Pickens just explode.
I hope
here.
So.
I really, really
I think
do.
Against the Packers, though, you need to target 175 yards rushing. You know, whatever you get from your passing game that day. If you want to win that game, you unload everything you got as far as the creativity and the play calling and the schemes to try to get an edge there in the ground game. Otherwise, Dak's going to get hit.
He probably will.
Yeah.
And I think the last couple of weeks, Dak's done a really good job. And I know you guys all watched the All-22. I think Dak's anticipation, some free runners on him. I think Williams had a miss pickup that the pass he threw across the field to Lamb was just like him standing in there and making the throw.
Yeah.
I think Dak has got a really good feel for like, okay, I'm going to have to stand here and probably take some hits because my guys are going to give up some pressures. But you could absolutely be right about needing
to run the ball against Packers. It's incredible. He can see the guy running straight at him, and he's just locking in, waiting until the last possible second, letting that thing go on that ball on the left sideline to Lamb. He just got smoked.
He got smoked. And really, that's probably a little bit on Williams. You know, it's like two guys blitzing, and he...
Yeah, they had...
Dak knew he's got a free runner at him, and he just said, you know what? I've got to throw it. He stood there and threw it. Good for him.
Well, good for you, Brian. Thank you so much. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Every day at 3:40 here in the nation, we'll chuck a daily football fix.
Let's do it. The Brady conflict of interest. The text that still haunts Caleb Williams, the schmuckiest fan of the year. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.